Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Felicia.
I'm Lauren.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any recommendations to share with us this week, Lauren? What do you got?
I do. I was just trying to put myself in the place of when this episode would be released. And I was like, oh, this will be Valentine's Day. But it's actually the week after Valentine's Day. So hope everyone had lovely Valentine's days.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have plans? Do you know what you'll be doing?
Yes. But we're not going – ours is not on the 14th. I think on either Wednesday or Thursday, we're going to go to Mama Fuku,
which is –
yeah. That's how you know Travis and I are being fancy, if we go to Mama Fuku.
I love it.
But, yeah. What about you?
We always go to Olive Garden.
That's so amazing.
That's so funny. So I'm not sure if we're taking Willow this year or not yet. We're still figuring it out. But I was like, I love having our plan. I love knowing what we're going to get. It's my favorite thing.
That's amazing. That's so beautiful. That's like Travis and me on New Year's, where it's like we always stay in and order pizza. It's like these little things that you do as a couple that's just like, that's the best thing.
I know. And having it be like not a lot of effort is truly beautiful. Oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And we don't, anyway. Do you do presents for Valentine's Day? We don't really do that anymore.
I don't know. He always gets me a present, but I feel like sometimes I don't get him one. I always try to do something sweet. Like last year, I literally just finished last week, so don't applaud me. But I did 365 affirmations. So every day he got to pick a thing that said, like, this is what I love about you. I know.
That is so serious. That is so beautiful.
It was a lot. I will say it did not take long to write out the 365 affirmations. But then for some reason, I decided to handwrite them. And that's what I couldn't do.
That was the mistake.
It'll be so sweet if it's in my handwriting.
Sweet. Yeah, that is more sweet.
Just type it next time, you know?
Wow. That is also amazing. You like 365 things about one person. That is very impressive.
I
know.
I will say some of them were song lyrics that I just think about him.
Oh, that's so nice. That's beautiful.
So there's your idea for this year.
I love it.
It takes so long. No.
Maybe next year. I'll start for next year.
There you go.
Yeah.
You could just do like 50 a year. I think that's so nice.
Good. 52. You get one a week.
There you go.
Perfect.
Okay. Anyway, shall I give recommendations?
Yes, please.
In my trying to watch Oscar movies, I have not done as good a job as I want to, and hopefully we'll catch up soon. But I did watch Triangle of Sadness. Did I already text you about this?
I don't know.
I don't remember. So good. Like, if you're looking for something that will fill the void of White Lotus, I actually think this is a good movie for that.
Amazing.
Yeah. It's like very weird. It also kind of gave me like Parasite vibes, where like it starts and you think it's this kind of movie and then it continues and you're like, whoa, I didn't think it'd go here. Whoa, I didn't think it'd go there. But it's basically like this young couple, like because the girl is an influencer, get to go on this like super bougie cruise. And then it's sort of about like, you know, super wealthy people and the crew. And like that.
Oh, yes. It does sound a little White Lotus-y.
Yeah, exactly. But Woody Harrelson's in it. Nice. There's a lot of people. I kept describing it to people as like it was everything to me that I wanted the menu to be. Like I wanted the menu to be like this.
I think I remember you saying that to me. So
yes.
Yeah.
So Triangle of Sadness. Super good. And then my other one is like a mixed recommendation, but I saw Causeway, which is Jennifer Lawrence and Brian Tyree Henry, and they're both like trauma survivors in New Orleans, and they like become friends. And it was really good performances. It's like very sad, and it's not as sad as I thought, I guess, but it's an interesting watch. And I just like – I really like Jennifer Lawrence, and I'm like glad she's kind of – back and doing interesting things. So
yeah, she really took a break, right?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. She took a little break. Oh, and the other thing I started watching, I forgot about this. James and I started watching Shrinking, which is Jason Segel and Harrison Ford on Apple TV.
Oh.
And it's so good. I love it.
Seems like Apple TV has a lot of stuff now. Now I'm kind of like, should I? I don't want to add anything else, of course, but I'm like, should I? I don't know.
I might be able to give you our password. We have one from someone. Right here on the podcast, I give it.
Yeah, right here on the podcast. I did want to watch that show, The Servant. I think it's done now. It's had like three seasons or something, but that's one that I like has been on my list that I'm like, oh, I should probably get it so I can just watch that.
I agree. And I want to watch the Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon show.
Oh, well, of course. Reese Witherspoon. On me. Anything for her. Anything. For
anything.
Her.
Jump out the window.
Jump out the window. I'm down. Fine.
She has a new rom-com coming out too with Ashton Kutcher.
That's – oh, my God. Wait, I didn't see – I don't know what the movie is, but I saw a picture of them together on the red carpet, and they looked super awkward, and it was really funny.
For some reason, was like, I can't imagine them together, which, like, makes me want to watch it more.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Anyway, what are yours for this week?
So, as you know, I've already seen Gilmore Girls. I've seen Schitt's Creek. I've seen The Office. So, it's like, I need a new type of, like, comforting – chill short episode show for my breakfast and for my evenings.
Love.
So I was flipping through like Netflix through all their stuff, and I was like, I'm gonna try out the Mindy Project. Have you ever seen it?
Loved it. Yes.
Have you seen it all? Yes. I don't even know how many seasons there are.
Yes.
But I started watching that and I love it. It's like the exact 20 minute episodes, short, funny, sweet, whatever, cringe at times in an enjoyable way. Like, it's just, it's great. It's exactly what I wanted.
And it's just like, it fills the, like, it's not as good as The Office, but it fills that void for sure.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So I felt. And she's great. I love her.
Yeah. 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 And I feel like.
Oh, wait. Have you watched. Have you watched Mindy Kaling's other show? She's not in it, but I've honestly really loved it. It's like Sex Lives of College Girls, maybe? Yeah, the Sex Lives of College Girls.
No, but I've heard of it. Is that
If
good?
You finish Mindy Project and you need like a silly little quick watch, it's really – I really liked it too.
Nice. Nice, nice, nice. I feel like I haven't really been watching a lot of movies, so that's kind of – yeah, that's kind of it right now.
I feel like we haven't – oh, well, I haven't seen Knock at the Cabin. Yet.
No, that just came out. And I still need to go see Infinity Pool. I was going to go this weekend, and now I don't know. Yeah. This time of year is so busy. I'm just like, I say that about every time of year is so busy, where I'm just like, So, but I do want to go see both of those.
Me too. Even if Knock at the Cabin, the freaking trailer ruined everything.
I didn't watch the trailer.
Don't watch it. Don't watch it.
I'm not going to.
That's a gift. That's a gift. Yeah. Never watch it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Noted. Noted. Yeah, cool. All right. So I'm starting this week. So two things led me to this story I'm going to tell you. One, my last name is Lobo, and I love wolves. So wolves are like very important in my family. We have a lot of wolf artwork and stuff, and a lot of people in my family have wolf tattoos. I'm probably going to get one. It's, you know, we howl at the moon. It's over the top. It's too much.
But, and yet it's right.
And yet it's right. But yeah, so I've always had a thing for wolves. And then as of recent, it's funny because I kind of talked about this with the goblin mode a couple episodes, but this idea of like being casually feral. Have you seen this?
Yes.
There's this one girl on TikTok. I can't think of her name right now, but she's so freaking funny. But she's like, yeah, I'm just going to be a little feral squirrel this weekend and eat all my nuts in my bed and not wash my hair. Like, she's so funny. But this, like, yeah, this idea of, like, being kind of, like, the grossest, most – what's the word I'm thinking of? What's the – is it the id? Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes? Okay.
Like, most inner self?
Yes. Yeah, being your most inner self and letting it all come out and hang out and, like, not worrying about what other people think and just being, like, yeah, an unhinged person. I don't know.
I love it. I like the idea of it. Yeah. I always think about, like, when I wear the same clothes in the morning that then I go to sleep in at night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't change. You don't shower.
Who needs to? Who needs it? yeah. So that's what brought me to this story of Marcos Rodriguez Pantoja from Spain. And this is, he is a noted, as it says on Wikipedia, feral child, which it feels like derogatory, but that's what it says. And this is this idea that, and there's a few stories like this. I feel like I even heard one in like one of my psychology classes, but children that live in isolation from human contact from a very young age and then have to be like reintroduced into society so that they can be lacking mostly in social skills, also language, haven't had any sort of like care for them. And yeah, so this guy, Marcos, he was born in Añora, Spain, and he was with his parents for a couple of years after he was born, but his mom died giving birth to one of his siblings. So after she died, he was just with his father, who eventually married another woman, and apparently they were both like very cruel and abusive towards him. And at a certain point, and this is wild to me because this is in 1954. So this feels like too late for this. But apparently his father sold him to a local landowner.
Oh my gosh.
Who put him under the care of a goat shepherd. Like I'm like, 1954? Like that feels...
Yeah, that feels late.
So anyway, so yeah. So he's there with him working... And by the way, he's like 7 years old, so he's working.
That's what I was going to say. How old is he?
A child. And then at some point, that goat shepherd died pretty soon after. And nobody came to get him or to check on him or whatever. And so he just sort of wandered into the woods and started living amongst the animals there, and most notably with wolves. So,
wow.
Yeah, so he was, you know, had been like surviving by watching other animals, seeing how they were eating, and then following their lead, basically. So he'd watch birds eat certain berries. He'd go eat those berries. He'd see like hogs like digging up like bugs and stuff, and he would chase them off and then go eat the bugs. So he would do this. Oh. And then at a certain point, he wandered into this cave, and there was all these wolf pups, like little baby wolves. So cute. And he starts playing with them, and then Mama comes home, and Mama at first like growls at him or whatever, and she had been hunting, so she had like brought back food. And then after a little bit, she kind of gave him some food, and then he just stayed there with them and lived with these wolves for years. So
that is just crazy to me. That has to be a special wolf mom, right? Like most wolf moms would just eat you, right? I don't know.
So yeah, and he said like he remembers like the encounter and the first encounter and like being like, she either is going to let me stay or she's going to eat me. Like there's not really any in between here. And she just kind of took him in. And wow. So he – and get this. So he lived
– there are better stepmoms than me.
I'm dead. That's so good for so many levels. Okay.
Really just took him in.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the wolves.
Just one of the wolves. So he stayed there in these woods with these wolves and the other creatures of the forest for 11 years.
That's he survived. A long ass time.
Yes, he survived out there, and eventually,
going through
like
puberty.
Oh my god, can you imagine? Oh my god, terrible. Ugh. But learning how to survive and how to communicate with animals. There's a great video of him, you know, doing all these different animal calls of like different birds and different stuff. And he's like, "Well, this one owl sounds like this, and this one sounds like this." And the fox sounds like this, and he could do it all because he's like, that's how I communicated. And then
Like, but he's able to talk now and like
yes. function. So, okay. Yes.
Sorry.
So
jumping too far.
No, it's okay. So yeah, 1965. He's been out there for 11 years. and the civil guard, somebody reported him that this man with like this long hair was like wandering around this area and was like wearing like a deerskin outfit. And so the civil guard goes and they basically had to by force take him out of these woods. So he did not want to go. He was like, this is my home. What are you doing? And he also like, he did still speak a little bit because he had language from when he was like up to 7 years old, but he didn't really use it for 11 years other than he said sometimes wow. I would like talk to myself, but like not actively. So that he didn't understand what was
happening.
That he
wasn't like, ish, baby, 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 just like yeah. wolves. Like,
I don't know. I don't know. I guess not.
he's just growling.
He's just growling. So he, you know, at this point, he's 19 years old, but he doesn't understand what's going on. So they have to forcibly take him out of the woods. Like, they literally like, strapped him to like a horse or something and were like, you're coming with us. And they said he was like, they had to like bound him, gag him. Like, it's so dark and scary. And he was like howling and like biting at them. So they, and this is, I mean, this is sad. But so they contacted his father.
No.
Who had sold him when he was a kid.
No.
And he was not charged with anything for selling a child or anything. And he said, yes, that is my son. I don't want him back. And also, it looks like he lost my jacket I gave him, and I'm mad about that.
Oh, my God.
Like, can you imagine? Like, what? This child has been out here for 11 years in the forest, and you're just like,
with wolves?
Yeah, but where's my jacket?
Oh, my God.
Very, very bad.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, it wasn't going well. And he said, like, as soon as he got there also, they tried to give him a haircut. And so, they took him to this barbershop. And the barbershop pulls out, like, a razor blade. Because this is, like, the 70s. And he thinks he's going to kill him. So, he is, like, fair. Screaming. And they had to hold him down to give him this haircut. I'm just like, why are you just traumatizing this 19-year-old? Like, why couldn't you just, like, let
about
him
his
chill
hair?
For a sec?
yeah.
Yeah. So, they tried to, like, I guess they did what maybe was their best effort at the time to help, like, reintroduce him to society. But he was really not about it. He eventually did go stay with some nuns that kind of helped him – and gave him, like, a little bit of schooling and, like, helped him with his language skills and some of that. But he was also sort of, like, not left to his own devices, but in a way, because he was 19, so he's almost an adult. So they're, like, giving him jobs. Like, he worked in construction. He worked all these jobs. Like, it doesn't seem like he was given adequate rehabilitation for this.
No.
Yeah. And so – and there's videos on YouTube, and you can hear him talking. And he seems like – he's, like – this was a few years ago, and he was in his 70s. But
oh, wow.
He is still, like, talking, you know, like, you wouldn't necessarily know that this is how he had grown up at this point. But he says he had a really, really difficult time adjusting to being with people.
I can only imagine.
And, yeah. And he has this – he had a quote that was said really casually in one of the videos, but I wrote it down, which is that man is beastly, not animals. And so he was saying it's like what was so hard for him is that people, they say one thing, but they might mean something else. And with animals, that's never true. That's everything is always like truthful in the moment. Like there's no manipulation. There's no anything like
yeah.
that. But the one, a couple things that he did like about living in society was women. He was like, it might be worth it to be near women. Because he had not had that before.
Oh, my God.
And also, like, smoking cigarettes. So those
two
things.
Best parts.
Yeah, that was worth it for him. But
wow.
But everything else was really hard. He felt like he was taken advantage of a lot because he didn't really understand a lot of things.
I'm sure.
And he ended up living in, like, really kind of bad situations. Like, living in places. Like, at some point, he had, like, gone to like this hostel with some money the nuns had given him and someone like stole his money and then he had to like work off living in the hostel. Like he just wasn't really like taken care of in the way
yeah.
that someone that had never been taken care of probably needed. So it's yeah.
Just
it's definitely
so
like
wild.
Sad. Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like so many of these cases you hear about people that were like feral from like one to, or, you mm-hmm. know, zero to six, instead of like, he must have had such a specific experience yeah. being like gone from 7 to 19.
Yeah. And he was like, he was already going into the woods, like traumatized from like being abused and sold.
Yeah.
And then he goes in, like lives this life that he actually was very happy with, and then is ripped out of that to live places that he didn't really want to be, and then ultimately yeah. into like very extreme poverty. So it was just bad. But there was a case study written on him, many of them, but the most famous one is by an anthropologist named Gabriel Janner Manila, and he spent like over a year interviewing Marcos to, you know, see like how he's able to like adjust back into society and like what it was like for him living out there and all these things. And that was eventually, like, his studies were turned into a movie that was called, okay, it's called Among Wolves, but that's the English version. Oh. So whatever that is in Spanish. And, oh, Entre Lobos. Yeah. And something like a little strange, like in one of the interviews, is he said when he feels lonely or sad about his life, he actually watches this movie about his own life. And, like, watches it and like watches it to go to sleep and stuff.
Wow.
And I haven't seen the movie, but people say it kind of is like a glorified version of his life in a way, of like how he lived among nature and the animals and blah, blah. And like, it probably wasn't as, you know, lovely and nice as it is in that movie, but.
Right.
I think he says he likes watching that version of it, and like it makes him feel comforted. Yeah. So I don't know.
Wow.
And he's still alive. So he's 76 years old and he still lives in Spain, and he is a big like advocate and even like sort of educator about the environment. So he goes into schools and like teaches kids about like how to take care of like our planet and like animals, and he talks about like how to care for certain animals and all this kind of stuff. So, and all that seems to be really important to him. Like the interviews that he's given later years, like a lot of what he talks about is just like how much he can't understand how humans are just like destroying everything. He walks around with this guy and they're filming him, and he's looking at like trash that's like sitting in like this water source, and he's pointing out this bird. He's like, that bird over there is thirsty and is trying to get water from here, but it can't because it's toxic. And so that bird's probably going to die. And he's like, I don't understand how nobody cares. And I was like,
oh
my God,
he seems like such a beautiful man. And I love that he's like able to, you know, work with kids and
yeah.
teach them about the environment and all of that is so amazing.
Yeah. So it seems like his later years have been a little bit better, but from what I understand, like the in between was pretty dark. But yeah, that's Marcos Rodriguez Pantoja, and he seems like a pretty incredible person. And it's honestly, like, I always had dreams growing up of like being with wolves. I used to, because I was that kid, I used to pretend to be a wolf on the playground.
Oh yeah.
Why? I don't know. But yeah, so it was nice to like hear the story about this wolf mama that like took in this child and raised him for like a decade. It's
crazy.
It feels like a fake story. It feels like out of like a book, and it actually happened. So
yes, that's Marcos. That's amazing. And I keep thinking about like we all had like a tough time adjusting post COVID, and
oh my gosh,
were all
totally
adults and mm-hmm. like had whatever 25 had, years like, before that. yeah and then we were like, oh my God, we have to be around people. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Well, thank you for sharing that. That was such a good one.
Thank you.
Taking us a sillier direction.
Oh, good.
I like a serious first story, a silly second story.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm covering Amethyst Realm, and she is a woman who's in her 30s, and back in 2017 kind of came to media attention because she was claiming to have had sex with as many as 20 ghosts.
Wow.
Yeah.
What like, an accomplishment.
Honestly, like, that's a high number, even if it was just humans. But most of my research is from an interview that she did on the UK's This Morning TV show. So she claims that she's had sex with about 20 ghosts, as I said, over the last decade of her life on this TV show. And she supposedly had sex with a ghost when she was 15 years old and vowed to, you know, never really go back to men from that. But
at 15, she made that vow. She said, I'm done with men. Only ghosts.
No, I'm just, I just don't know, because she did, so she had a fiance. So I'm like, I don't think she had a fiance when she was 15. So maybe the first time was when she was 15 and kind of now she's decided that she's never going back to men. But the most personal encounter occurred to her when she was living with her fiance and he was working away a lot. And so she started to feel this ghostly presence, and then it became physical. So she was kind of intrigued. So she decided to try to seduce this paranormal entity. So she puts on some sexy lingerie, went into her guest's bedroom, and that's where she had felt the ghost presence most strongly. So nothing happened. And she was like, maybe I'm trying too hard. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe the lingerie was too much. So she went to bed, and she says, just as she was falling asleep, she claims that the ghost appeared in her bed and they had sex.
Wow.
This is about to get a little steamy, Felicia.
So does she even know this ghost? I'm just saying.
She just went
for it.
Wow. I'm confused. Did she even get a last name? Right? I'm like, who was the spirit? So she says, there was pressure on my thighs and breath on my neck.
Oh my God.
I just always felt safe.
I know. This is steamy.
I just always felt safe. I had sex with a ghost. You can feel it. It's difficult to explain. There was a weight and a weightlessness, a physical breath and stroking, and the energy as well. Steamy.
Wow.
So.
Someone's probably written a novel about this, right? Like a romance novel or something.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
One of those. Maybe.
Honestly,
if
a
not,
dream.
The idea is ready.
Yeah. Like, this is to me, like, you know, no strings attached. In the most dramatic way. So they supposedly both fell deeply in love. And this affair continued for 3 years before her fiance caught her in the
caught act. Her?
I don't – I would love to have an interview with the fiance. The fiance supposedly saw the shape of a man through the window when he pulled up outside. Which is particularly odd because she claims that she's never seen the ghost or never seen a presence like this. So apparently the fiance sees a man through the window, comes in and breaks up with her and says, like, I caught you. You're having an affair. And I guess she said, I'm having an affair with a ghost. And he said, I'm out. So
wow. I wonder if it was the affair or the ghost. Like, which – or was
I know,
was it a combination
or
was it –
Where would you stand?
I would say I think I would be more fascinated about the ghost part, but I would be worried that Travis had lost his mind. So like even though I do believe in ghosts, I still it's like I believe in ghosts, but I feel like it wouldn't happen to us.
Yeah. I agree. I just feel like, yeah. I don't know which part would be more difficult to to handle.
Yeah.
But she claims that she eventually got bored with these encounters with the ghost, and it did eventually end.
But who ended
it? She does.
What if the ghost ended it? The ghost is like, I'm good. Thank you. The ghost ghosted her. Oh, my God.
That's really good. The ghost – I mean, maybe the ghost said, now I can move on to the next life.
Oh, yes.
I don't know.
It's like in Buffy when the angel has sex with Buffy and gets a soul. It's like this ghost, he has sex with her and he gets to move on to the afterlife.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just talking. I'm sorry. You go.
It does. I will say if we like believe in ghosts enough that they like pull your feet and levitate beds and like do all the stuff. Like, I don't think it's like so far to be like they're That's sexy true. Too.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. It's all kind of weird to me. I'm like, don't they not have a body? Why do they like why? What's going on here? But she does feel like there is a risk of her getting pregnant. This really was too far for me. She believes that, you know, there are like phantom pregnancies are like kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Where you like, I guess, out of like sadness for wanting to have a baby, you can like have pregnancy symptoms. Like kind of symptoms. So she believes that those are actually ghost babies and that people don't know how to carry them to full term. And so she thinks that there's like a possibility of her becoming pregnant from a ghost.
So which, she's saying there is a possibility of carrying a ghost baby full term.
Yes. Wow. I don't know what that looks like. Me you either. Grow? I guess you – I'm not sure. And so one of the hosts on the TV show brings up like, you know, what if this is just sleep paralysis or, you know, something similar to that, which I didn't even know that apparently sleep paralysis can sometimes bring on sexual feelings.
I've never heard that.
Know. Me either. I thought it was only scary.
Mostly like a scary thing. Yeah.
So she shuts that down pretty quickly by saying that like the first ghost that she was with used to follow her around the house and like lure her in. So she was definitely awake and not just like, you know, frozen to the bed. Mm. And one psychotherapist believes that like these encounters could just be hallucinations that kind of occur in that like, you know, right before you fall asleep sort of dreamlike state. Mm-hmm. And some people have had specific hallucinations in that state that can be like very vivid and bizarre and, you know, have like actual like, you know, feeling or visual or auditory, you know, parts of them. And that I thought this was interesting too. Apparently people who experience stress, anxiety, depression, and trauma are more susceptible to these kind of hallucinations in that, you know, right before you fall asleep place, which I thought was interesting. The host also, I mean, you know, this interview is like truly like the most exploitation, ridiculous interview, if you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But the host also asked if like she can have an orgasm from having sex with a ghost.
Honestly, and I wanted to know that too. So
she says, yes, she can.
She can. Okay.
I will say they talk about, I watched one of those like Netflix things about female pleasure. And there are like a lot of people who can have orgasms without anyone touching them. So I'm like, I bet she can. I know.
Interesting.
Sexy interesting. Images, I guess.
Yeah, so, yeah. Interesting.
That's where I'm like, I don't think this would happen to a man. But anyway.
I was going
to
say, do you think men can do that or no?
I don't know. I'll have to do some more research. This turns into a sex podcast.
Yes, why not? Yeah.
She also goes on to say that she can definitely tell the difference between her ghost lovers. She said they have very different energies. It's just like humans. And she's not so embarrassed about having sex with ghosts, but she is embarrassed about her number and how many ghosts she's had sex with. So,
wow.
You know,
I mean, at that point, I just
shame
feel like
can still exist.
Well, I was going to say at that point, I feel like you shouldn't even bother with shame. You should just be like, this is what I do.
Right.
I can't wait to also see this woman.
Oh, I know. She looks totally normal, really. Like not, you know, just normal looking.
Normal
but
lady.
They also, they also tease her on the show that like maybe she's like well known in the spirit world and like people talk about her as like everyone go visit that woman.
Yeah. Maybe.
So as I said, you know, most of this info is from an interview in 2017, but I do have a little update. So she went back on the British talk show in October of 2020. This time, she claims to have fallen in love with a sexy spirit named Ray during a trip to Australia in 2018. And she decided to bring her home with her. And so they consummated the relationship on the flight back home. So she's just
like
having sex with a ghost.
In her seat or in the bathroom?
In the bathroom, supposedly.
Okay, because in the seat would have been
Mile
very
high
rude
club.
To everyone else.
I know. But she said they talked about getting married and having a baby, but they're, you know, they were thinking long term. 9 months after they came back on the flight, this ghost Ray asked her to marry him. And she said for the first time ever, she actually heard his voice and heard a ghost voice. And she described it as very deep, sexy, and real. So wow. He asked her to marry him. She said yes. And everything was going well until they went on this vacation to Thailand. Honestly, I will say it seems like she's like traveling a lot. Yeah, living her best life on these extravagant trips with her ghost fiance.
Also, like, I feel like ghosts in my brain always are like stuck to one location. So yes, a traveling ghost, I'm kind of like, what?
I know, like he goes through security with you? Or are you like, where'd he go? And then he's on the plane?
Does he need a passport?
I'm Does sorry. He have TSA pre-check?
Not the pre-check.
Yeah. So she said they went on this vacation and she believes he fell in with a bad crowd when they were on vacation.
Yes.
So he started becoming really inconsiderate, wasn't romancing her in the same way.
Very rude.
And so they came back home and he would disappear for long periods of time. And when he came back, he would always bring other spirits with him and they would just like crash at her house for several days.
Wow.
So
that's rude. That's
yeah. I know. She said there would be crashing and banging and she'd have to get rid of the other spirits with sage and that would make them disappear. Even this
At least we know sage works. That's good to know.
Yeah, right? She said they started partying too much. They were doing drugs. And she also talked about the spirits also possibly being affected by the COVID-19 situation. She said that ghosts also fear getting ill, which I don't really understand at all. But COVID, his new friends, all of this was too much on them. The partying, somehow the ghost doing drugs.
It was
so ultimately, they decided to call off the wedding.
I think that was for the best, probably.
I think so. I just can't understand any of it, to be honest. I'm like, how are they taking drugs if they're a ghost?
I don't know.
Who's to say?
I don't know.
But obviously, this sounds like a crazy story. It seems like maybe this woman is, you know, I don't know, has a lot going on. But ghost sex is common enough that there is a word for it, and it's called spectrophilia. So,
wow,
similar to all those other things.
Spectrophilia, yes.
Spectrophilia is paraphilia involving intimate encounters with ghosts, and it's used to describe people who are sexually attracted to spirits. So, Mark Griffiths, the psychology from Nottingham, England, believes that this condition is indeed real, even if ghosts are not. Which I could kind of see, like someone being attracted to ghosts, even if we don't know that they exist. And although there's a lot of stories and folklore, you know, regarding romantic exchanges with spirits, there's no real scientific evidence, of course. So
yeah.
That's my little story about Amethyst Realm and spectrophilia.
That was amazing. That's a great story. And I love that it's so recent.
I know. She's talking about it in COVID. So
yeah.
Very recent.
Wow, and great job.
I hope she finds happiness, whether it's with a ghost or a real person.
Me too. Oh, we hope that for you, Amethyst, if you're listening.
Yes. And I'll share pictures of her and everything else on Instagram, of course.
Okay, amazing. All right. Well, thank you all for listening.
We hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
Bye.